The last thing you expect to happen when you eat food is for it to be contaminated by chemicals that may be in the food, water, and the pans you cook in. That's part of the world we live in. Forever chemicals, a topic that's been discussed on this show once before, is the topic again. Do you have or use nonstick pans or griddles or waffle makers? There might be a good reason to get rid of those pans. Have you heard about forever chemicals? They go by the term PFAS. There are many of them, and we'll talk about what they are and why they are bad. The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 276. Food and freedom once a week for life. Hello, folks. Dan Reed here. Welcome back to the show. Today's episode isn't about how to cook. It's about what we cook and on what kinds of pans. In my years as a chef and a baker, not one part of those jobs prepared me for studying chemicals. It's a huge subject which I aim to introduce you to, but by no means conclude. Some of the work I do is freelance writing. One particular job was to write about nonstick pans. What I learned was both amazing and a bit concerning because it involves PFAS, those so-called forever chemicals. Back in July of 2023, I spoke with Jason Bassler about forever chemicals. One main topic was how the state of Maine was having some pretty serious issues with those chemicals in the soil, and everything coming from the soil was contaminated with forever chemicals. That also meant anything eating those plants, chicken, cows, and goats, to name three animals, was contaminated with forever chemicals, and of course, humans that ate those cows, chickens, and goats also became contaminated with forever chemicals. That's the starting point. I'll add the link to the show notes page for that article, also for Jason's episode on culinarylibertarian.com/276. So PFAS stands for perfluoroalkyl and polyfluoroalkyl substances, and they have been around since the 1940s. PFAS is a bit of an umbrella term that has more four-letter compounds under its umbrella. Teflon, the brand name nonstick substance, is known as PFTE. There is also PFOA and PFOS, and a few more. Already, it's dizzying. PFAS, as the category of chemicals, is very stable. That sounds good. The chief problem is that due to the strong chemical bond, they don't break down. That sounds like it should be good. The cancer.org website has this, quote, PFAS have the potential to be a health concern because they don't break down easily and can stay in the environment and in the human body for a long time, which is why they are sometimes referred to as forever chemicals. Studies have found PFAS worldwide at very low levels in just about everyone's blood. Higher blood levels have been found in communities where local water supplies have been contaminated by PFAS. People exposed to PFAS in the workplace can have levels many times higher, end quote. We've moved from the state of Maine to worldwide, but there are more states with PFAS problems. The Environmental Working Group, EWG, website has a post from 2015. The article is pretty good and rich with lots of information about a class action lawsuit against DuPont over contaminated water supplies in West Virginia and Ohio. The culprit is PFOA, perfluorooctanic acid, The CDC website writes that perfluorooctanic acid, PFOA, has been a manufactured perfluorochemical and the byproduct in producing fluoropolymers. Perfluorochemicals, PFCs, are a group of chemicals used to make fluoropolymer coatings and products that resist heat, oil, stains, grease, and water. PFOA was used particularly for manufacturing polytetrafluoroethylene, but since 2002, manufacturers have used a new process not requiring this chemical. PFOA persists in the environment and does not break down. PFOA has been identified in bodies of water in a variety of land and in a variety of land and water animals, end quote. It's a mouthful. That's a lot of alphabet soup. The first thing to know is PFOA has been phased out of production. PFOA was a DuPont product. The similar-sounding PFOS, perfluorooctane sulfonic acid, which did basically the same thing, was a 3M product. Both companies have phased out the use of these specific chemicals with an arrangement reached through the EPA. Now, I mentioned Teflon earlier. Teflon is a trade name for PFTE, which was that really long name, that polytetrafluoroethylene. The Rational Kitchen website writes, with emphasis, quote, "We should repeat here, just to get the point across, that PTFE and Teflon are the same thing. Teflon is DuPont's original trade name for PTFE, and many people still refer to PTFE pans as Teflon pans, regardless of the brand of PTFE on the pan. There are hundreds of different types, there are hundreds of different trade names for PTFE, but Teflon pan has come to mean nonstick PTFE pan in general," end quote. It's kind of like Xerox or Kleenex. You might be wondering, what does each one have to do with another? PFOA was, somewhat ironically, the glue that held the PTFE on the pan. The PFOA, in the manufacturing process, was dumped into water supplies in West Virginia. So, the ban on PFOA is for use on nonstick pans. As stated in that Rational Kitchen post, quote, "As of 2015, no PTFE cookware sold in the U.S. contains PFOA, regardless of where it's made. This is true for many other parts of the world as well, so even nonstick cookware made in China and other countries with lax environmental policies rarely contains PFOA. There is simply not a market for it. However, PFOA is still found in other consumer goods made overseas, including carpeting, upholstery, apparel, floor wax, textiles, fire-fighting foam, sealants, food packaging containers, and more," end quote. So, PFOA is gone, but what was the replacement? A chemical called Gen X. Ironic, huh? It seems that the Gen X chemical is not much better than the PFOA it replaced. Gen X chemicals are used specifically for cookware. Now, I'll link to the Rational Kitchen article because there's just it's a lot there, and it's not too long of a read, but it's I urge you to read it. All nonstick pans no longer have or use PFOA. That's the good news. If you shop for pans, Teflon pans, nonstick pans, you might see the label proudly boasting that the pan is PFOA free. Of course it is. Now, that's like saying water is gluten-free. Because labeling is tricky business, what they are telling you that isn't there is no comfort, because what they're concealing is what is there. So it's PFOA free, but it might not be Gen X chemical free, and probably it isn't. It's almost like those drug ads that list all the things that might happen to you as side effects if you take the pill. You might be made more sick by taking the medicine than you will be if you don't. The conclusion I came to after writing that article was that nonstick pans are to be avoided. If you have them and they are scratched, they should very much be thrown away. If they show obvious wear, throw them away. I threw out one pan and one is next. I have a few more to go that are in line. Aside from being a problem when the nonstick pan surface is scratched, the nonstick surface is not high heat safe. How high is high? 500 degrees, which is very easy to reach on a stovetop. An empty pan on medium low can easily reach 500 degrees. And I tested that with a little laser thermometer, and I was like, I admit to be quite surprised at how fast that happened. So in one of those articles I linked to, they say like less than 350 degrees, but they're pushing it to 500. It gets hard to explain all of this stuff about what's going on, but it's easier to read. Getting rid of your nonstick pans is one way to reduce exposure to PFAS. Now, those articles will make a great showing. They work hard to write that PFAS probably by itself isn't a problem. But when we have the scratches and the high heat, then we get into issues. Those water repellent sprays for upholstery are probably also PFAS. Dental floss might have PFAS. That sounds alarming. It's important to know that forever chemicals are inert below high heat. PFAS is also used in machinery and medical products. So it's on your dental floss. It's, from everything that I've read, it's not an issue because there's no high heat involved. And being inert at, you know, regular room temperature, nothing's happening to it. It's not going anywhere. The issue in Maine was they used biosolids, which they called sludge, to fertilize the soil. They didn't know that that sludge was PFSA rich. So it contaminated the soil and the food and the animals and the people. PFAS in soil is not limited to Maine. The Very Well Health website published an article in 2023 about PFAS in kale. Yeah, I know it's kale, but you know. Researchers found PFAS in 7 of 8 samples, both organic and conventionally grown. Interestingly, all the organic had PFAS and only 3 out of 4 organically or conventionally grown did. I link also to that because there's more information on that Very Well Health website. It's good read. It all seems bleak. If PFAS are in nearly every U.S. citizen and half of the drinking water sources in the U.S., how do you stop or reverse it? That same article suggests the need for strong federal regulation to eliminate all 12,000 PFAS chemicals in use. That's ambitious, maybe foolish, maybe impossible. I'm skeptical that it can be done, and I'm also skeptical that what comes as a replacement, the cure, so to speak, is better than the disease. You probably feel overwhelmed. You probably feel there's no hope. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? Yes. From a mitigation standpoint, it can be done. Is it easy? Probably not. Grow your own food. Buy whole foods and make your own stuff. Avoid processed foods and slick, slippery packaging. We may not be able to avoid PFAS entirely. We also don't have to run to it for the mere convenience of not having to cook. To that pan issue, cast iron and ceramic and stainless steel are good replacements. Cast iron will last your lifetime when seasoned well and treated properly. Stainless steel pans with good thick bottoms, usually with a copper core and maybe some other stuff in the core, for good heat distribution are excellent. I have a set of those. Mine are probably 35 years old and look nearly brand new. For stainless steel, the key to cleaning it is a good SOS pad and lots of elbow grease. All right, folks, that's going to do it. Short and sweet today. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon.
Music for the Culinary Libertarian Podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.